A reformed heart is a grateful heart that pursues holiness and gives thanks in all things.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, folks, we've been asking this question, what is the meaning of life? What is the purpose of life? But I've told you the Bible actually tells us and makes it very clear. And in fact, there's one scripture verse that if you want, I want to just take this right down, put this into your minds here. Like, what is the meaning of life? What is the purpose of life? Why are we here? I can tell you there's one verse that beautifully summarizes it all for us, and that's found in the book of Romans chapter 11, verse 36, where it tells us right there why you are here, why I am here, why anything exists. And it says this right there, for from him, that is to God, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. For from him, God is the creator of all things. He made everything, including you and me, all that exists. There is nothing that has been made that he didn't make. Nothing that exists that wasn't made by him. And through him, he is the sustainer. He keeps everything together. He holds it all together by his mighty power. And to him, he is the chief end or purpose of life. He is the meaning of life. For from him and through him and to him are all things. And then what? To him be glory. What? To him be glory and praise and honor forever. Amen. May it be so. So what is the meaning of life? God's glory. The glory of God. That's the meaning of life. That's why we're here. And this is what we ought to be living for. Living for the glory of God. Living for the glory of God. We're looking here, we're following on to our series in which we celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Reformation this last October. We're following that on then. Remember that last point was soli Deo Gloria, living for the glory of God alone, the glory of God alone. And the way that we live for the glory of God alone is through reformed hearts, a heart that is being changed and transformed into the image of Jesus, faithfully obeying his will. This is living for the glory of God. We have seen that the reformed heart is a dedicated heart. It's a committed heart. A heart that offers up ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. The reformed heart is a dedicated or a committed heart. We've seen that the reformed heart is a servant heart. That he has gifted us and equipped us for servants. Well, today then, I want to go on then, and we're going to look in Colossians chapter 3 today. Colossians chapter 3. Well, we will see that the reformed heart, living for the glory of God, it's a grateful heart. A reformed heart is a grateful heart that pursues holiness and gives thanks in all things. A grateful heart that pursues holiness and gives thanks in all things. So before we turn to Colossians chapter 3, if you have your Bibles there, why don't you turn back first for a moment to chapter 1. I want to read something there a moment. Colossians, the major theme of this book, is about the preeminence or the supremacy of Christ in all things, his greatness and his majesty. That he comes first in all things. That he is the sovereign Lord. The Son of God is the sovereign Lord over all of creation. You see a key passage in chapter 1, starting in verse 15, where it says, he, Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God. Do you want to know what the invisible God looks like? Look at the visible Jesus Christ, because he's the very image of him. He reveals God, because he is God. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. He has preeminence over all the creation the Father has given to him. Verse 16, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Hey, where have we seen this before? All right? And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is another way of saying what? For from him and through him and to him are all things. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Amen. Amen. So Jesus is supreme. He is preeminent. He is the creator, the sustainer, and the one to whom all things are to be directed. And he has secured redemption. He has secured redemption through his blood. And through faith in him, faith in his life, his death, and his resurrection, through faith in him, we participate. We're united with him. We're joined with him in his life, his death, his resurrection, and the glory to come. Well, in light of all that, therefore, how ought we to live? In light of that wondrous and glorious truth, how ought we to live? Well, we don't have to speculate. The text tells us. This is how we ought to live. Look to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start at verses 1 through 4. Paul says there, if then you have been raised with Christ, and there's no question about it, you have been. If your faith is in Jesus, you have been, okay? But if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So how then ought we to live? Therefore, so what? In light of all this, first what? Seek the things above. Seek the things above. It says, if you have been raised with Christ, and there's no question you have, if you have, and you have, then do what? Seek the things above. You've been raised with Christ. That is, you've been united with Christ. One of the things that happens when you put your faith, your trust, your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture says then that you are united with him, in his life, his death, and his resurrection. In fact, you know, that's a powerful picture that we see in baptism. Romans chapter 6 talks about that, that being baptized with Christ, in Christ. That when we baptize here, what, we'll take someone, they're in the water, and they fall back and go under the water and then come up out of the water. That is a symbol of what, of being in Christ and living in Christ, of dying in Christ, being buried with Christ, and then rising with Christ. It's a powerful picture of that truth. So if you're a believer in Jesus, you're united with him. Which means what? That all the benefits of his life are yours through faith. That means, first of all, it means forgiveness for sin because he took the punishment for our sin on himself. It means life, eternal life in his name. It means holiness and righteousness. Have you ever struggled with sin? Has anybody here ever struggled with sin? See, we do, don't we? But the reality is that in Christ, we've been delivered from that. We are being delivered from it, and we will ultimately be finally and fully delivered from that in Christ because we're united with him who triumphed over sin. So you have been raised with Christ. And that means that you have the hope of the resurrection. When a person dies in faith in Christ, that body, that's not the end of the body. That body is going to be raised in glorious power and immortality, just like the body of Jesus. You know, God has made you and me as human beings. We're both material and immaterial, body and soul, body, soul, and spirit, if you prefer that approach. But what? There's a material part of us and an immaterial part of us. And the material part of us isn't going to go away. But God is going to raise it too and make it glorious and new, suitable for eternity. So you've been raised with Christ. That means you have the hope of the resurrection of the body. But it also means then that you have been raised, you've been taken up to sit in the heavenly realms with Him. You're seated with Him at the right hand of God. Seated with Him in the heavenly realms. So if you have been raised with Christ, and you have been, seek the things that are above. Means what? To pursue then, to pursue heavenly things. Don't pursue the things of this earth. Pursue heavenly things. That's kingdom values, God's priorities, what God says, truth, holiness, love. Seek the things that are above. Pursue heavenly things. Pursue God's values, God's priorities. Center your life. Center your life on the resurrected, reigning Christ. Strive to do that. And then focus or concentrate. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Boy, that is so easy for us to set our minds on things that are on the earth, isn't it? We're bombarded constantly by the world's values, by the world's priorities, by the world's desires, by the world's philosophies and teachings. But if you have been raised with Christ, if you are seated with Him in the heavenlies, then set your mind on those heavenly things. God's truth. God's love. Holiness, righteousness, good things, good deeds in His name. Kingdom values. So our lives then should be dominated by the concerns of heaven, not by the concerns of the earth. Now we still live in this world. Well, as the scripture says, what? It says that we live in this world, but we are not to be of this world. We're to be heavenly minded persons in this world, but not of this world. Seek the things above. Set your mind, concentrate, focus it on the heavenly things, heavenly values, kingdom values. Why? Because you've died. You died with Christ. We've died to the things of this world. We've died to sin through our union with Christ. We've died with Christ. And I love this phrase here where it says, Your life now is hidden with Christ in God. What does that mean? Well, sometimes if you want to protect something, what might you do? You might put it away somewhere, hide it somewhere. And I think that's the picture here, is that our lives are hidden with Christ in God. They've been put away. Our lives, our eternal life, is protected by Him, held by Him, protected by Him, held secure in Christ. If your faith is in Jesus, then your eternity, your eternal destiny, your life and everything is secure in His hands, hidden away, put away in Him. Then it says something amazing here, verse 4, and when Christ, who is your life, appears, what? Then you also will appear with Him in glory. Now it says, when Christ appears, what's that referring to? the second coming. See, Jesus, the Messiah, the first time he came to do what? To seek and to save that which was lost. He came to redeem, to give up his life as an offering for sin, to die, to be buried, to rise again. But the second time he comes, he's not coming as the humble Savior to die. The second time he's coming as what? The glorious, sovereign, powerful judge of the earth. And so when he comes again, you also will appear with him in glory. What does that mean? It means, have you ever thought about that? We think, oh yeah, when Jesus comes again, well, guess what? It isn't just Jesus who's coming. Who's coming with him? The saints, the angels, and you and me. The saints of all the ages are coming with him. Did you know that? Well, how are you going to come with him? Well, because the scripture tells us those who've died in him, what? They'll be raised first. Will be changed. Their bodies will be changed, glorified. And then those who are alive at that time, what? They'll be raptured or caught up with him to meet the Lord in the air. Now, we can argue about whether that's the beginning of the tribulation, the middle, or the end, or the whatever you may think on that. There are different viewpoints. The point is, though, is that when he comes, so are his people, so are you, in glorified, resurrected bodies. So when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Scripture tells us, John, the Apostle John tells us, that we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Isn't that good to know? So seek the things above. Look upward to heaven, to heavenly values, heavenly perspectives, but also look forward. Look forward to what's coming. When he appears, you will appear with him. So seek the things above. What else ought we to do then? Well, if we're going to seek the things that are above, then we need to put something off and put something else on. Something needs to die, and then we need to give ourselves over to the life of something else. What do we need to die to? Well, let's look at that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. He says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you." Namely, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. And in these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. So here there's some wonderful imagery here in this and in the following passage here of like a change of clothes, that we are to put off old, dirty clothes, put those off, and then put on fresh, clean clothes of holiness. Put off the old clothes of sinful, earthly things. Put on fresh, clean clothes of holiness, of heavenly things. So first, these old things, these old, smelly old clothes. Put to death what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality and impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. And I say, well, God has given us our desires, hasn't he? Well, yes, God has created us with desires. But what? Sin has twisted them toward wrong ends. And so we need to put off that. Not to put off the good desires God has given us, but what? To put off or to put to death the sinful expression of that, as it's seen then in immorality, in impurity, in sinful passion, evil desire, covetousness, that's greed, the wanting for more, 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 which is idolatry. We're serving, worshiping things instead of the Creator, So put those to death. Because we're told, what? On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Well, God judges every day, doesn't he? And God will judge every person. But the scripture speaks of a time when his wrath will come. Again, what? At the coming of Christ. When God will bring judgment on the earth. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. So why do we want to be living in and living out the things that are bringing God's judgment? If we're his people, should we be living, giving ourselves over to those things that God is going to judge? No. And we're reminded, in these you too once walked. Paul, speaking to these believers here at Colossae, said, you know, there was a time when you walked in those things, you lived that way, you gave yourself over to those things. But now your life is different. You are in Christ. You are in union with Christ. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, what? Put to death those things. Boy, don't you wish sometimes that when we believed in Jesus, all of a sudden all the sinful desires and impulses and everything just instantly just went away. We never had to deal with them again. That would be one. Well, you know what? That day's coming, isn't it? That day's coming when we're not going to have to deal with that indwelling old sinful nature anymore. But until then, we do have to deal with it by putting it to death, saying no. Saying no to that and saying yes to God, to God's power and God's Spirit. So in these you too once walked, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath. Well, what do you mean anger? God gets angry. Well, there's righteous anger and there's not so righteous anger, right? So put it away, the unrighteous anger. And wrath. Well, we just said God is wrathful. Well, there's righteous wrath and there's unrighteous wrath, isn't there? Malice, evil talk, slander, obscene talk, lies, lying to one another. These things have no place in the life of the child of God, in the life of the one who is in union with Christ. So put them away, put them to death. We're told what? You have put off the old self with its practices. The scripture, that old self is, that's that sinful nature. That sinful nature that we're all born with. Put them off like old dirty clothes. Imagine if you had to just wear the same clothes all the time, every day, day in, week in, year out, week, month, year in and year out. We probably wouldn't want to be sitting too close to one another, would we, here? You know, this past summer, I had a little project, or it was spring, and ended up going into summer a little bit, where I had to replace the septic system in my house. Isn't that fun when you have to replace the septic system, right? So that was done. And, of course, once it was done, and it was actually done like late last fall, and then over the winter, what happens, how the ground, it kind of settles then, right? So this spring, I go out there, and I have these four or five wonderful trenches. More, I mean, they were filled in, but you could see these trenches in the yard. And I was like, okay, now what? So I end up, I get a truckload of dirt. That wasn't enough. I got another one. That wasn't enough. Finally, I ended up with about five truckloads of dirt. And so that had to be spread out over the yard to kind of level all that. And by the way, I think next spring, I'm probably going to have to get another load or two. But anyway, so there I am out there. The weather was getting warm, and I am taking that dirt, putting it in the wheelbarrow, pushing it over to the end of the, dumping it, spreading it out, raking it out, all that, doing all that. In the heat of the day, don't you feel so sorry for me, by the way, don't you? But anyway, the point is, you know what? My clothes got a little dirty. Probably wouldn't want to hang around me too long or get too close to me, right? Well, the scripture says, you know, that's what our sin is like. It's like those dirty, smelly old clothes. Need to put them off. See, so sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk, lies. Those are the dirty old clothes. Put them off. Take them off. We've had our shower in Jesus in Christ. His blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And then do what? Put on clean clothes. Fresh, clean clothes. Well, how about some clean clothes? What are those clean clothes? Well, the text tells us, starting in verse 10, Colossians 3, verse 10, it says, so put off the old self and do what? And put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we are to seek the things above, set our minds on those things that are above, and then we are to put off the old self, put to death those old sinful expressions within us, and in its place put on the new self. So the old self is the old sinful nature we're all born with. The new self is the new nature that you have by faith in Jesus. When you put your trust and confidence in Jesus, the scripture says you have been given a new nature, a new capacity, a new orientation that you didn't have before. So put on the new, put on the fresh clothes. Because this new person, this new nature in you, this new capacity, this new orientation, it's being renewed in the holy image of your Creator. Renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Who is your Creator? God? Jesus. Jesus Christ is your Creator. So this new image, this new nature in you is being renewed into the image of Jesus. It's the part of you that God wants to make you and me more like Jesus. What is Jesus like? Is Jesus full of immorality and impurity and lies? And no. He's holy. He's compassionate. He's kind. He's patient. He's forgiving. He's love. So your new self is being renewed in the holy image of Jesus, your Creator. And God has put us all together. We're not all a bunch of spiritual lone rangers, are we? By the way, I realized that afterwards, like when I asked, is your theme song the William Tell Overture last week, the theme song from the Lone Ranger, that some people kind of misunderstood that at first. See, I was going with this whole Lone Ranger, that we're not supposed to be lone rangers, spiritual lone rangers. And then somebody said, oh, I was all pumped up and excited. Let's go out and save somebody. Serve. And it's like, uh-oh, I guess you could take it that way too. I didn't mean it that way. So, but we are not lone rangers, are we? We are together in this one body of Christ. And you know what? As men and women, young people in this one body of Christ, it says what? There's no Greek or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. In their culture, those were classes of people, race and ethnicity and religion, that ultimately these things that divide people, all of those go away because we are one in Christ. Whether it's a cultural divide, an ethnic divide, a religious divide, political opinion divide. We don't have any divisions in our country over politics, do we? Now you see, all of those are put aside because we are one in one in Christ, in the one body of Christ. See, but Christ is all and in all. He's preeminent. So put on then, see, as God's chosen ones, before there was any, before God made anything, he knew you and loved you and purposed for you to know him and to be the recipient of his love and blessing and favor forever and ever and ever. As God's chosen ones then, holy and beloved, holy in Christ, beloved by God, that's who you are. In light of who you are, do what? Put on then these things. What? Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bear with one another. Does anybody here ever get a little frustrated with someone else? Maybe it's in your family. That never happens in families, though, does it, guys? Never happens in families. No, never happens in families. And it definitely, we never get frustrated with other believers in the church, do we? Well, what are we to do? We're to bear with one another, which is, here's another way of like it, to put it in very, very plain down-to-earth language. You know what? Deal with one another. Just deal with it. Put up with one another. Now look, sin needs to be admonished and called out for what it is, okay? But sometimes we just don't like someone's opinion or personality or what. Well, you know what? Deal with it.
Amen.
Bear with one another. Because you know what? The person that you think you have to deal with, guess what? That person is thinking that they have to deal with you. You ever thought about that? So bear with one another. And you know what? Sometimes there is sin. It's not just a preference or personality. Sometimes there is sin. And what do we do then? Well, it tells us what? Forgive. Forgive one another. How? As the Lord has forgiven you. Wow, that's a pretty high standard, isn't it? But we are one in Christ. Therefore, as God's chosen, holy, and beloved people, put on compassion, kindness, meekness, humility, gentleness, patience. Deal with one another. Bear with one another. And if there's sin, what? Forgive. Forgive one another. How? In the same way that Christ has forgiven you. Jesus said a new command. The night before he was crucified, he was gathered with the disciples, and he said to them, a new commandment I give you. What? As I have loved you, so you are to love one another. Loving as he has loved means forgiving as he is forgiven. And then put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Love is kind of the glue that holds it all together, isn't it? And it's God's love. It's not a feeling. It's a mindset. It's an attitude that is expressed in concrete action. Love binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body. Seek the peace of Christ. If there's conflict or trouble in your church, what do? You seek the peace of Christ. Now we have peace with God and we have the peace of God, but this is the peace. We are to seek the peace of Christ. We have peace with one another in Christ. So let that be the guide or the judge or the umpire in all disputes. Seek peace, biblical peace, not fake peace, not sweep it under the carpet peace, but true peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, be the judge, to which you were called in one body, unity, unity. And be thankful. Be grateful to God. We can be grateful to one another too, can't we? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. This is the word of God. This is the word of Christ. Let it dwell in you. Let it take up residence in your heart and your mind. Well, how do you do that? Well, we have to be reading it and meditating, chewing it over, committing it to our minds, don't we? And not just putting it in here, but then doing what? Putting it here and here, hands and feet, living it out, obeying it, right? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another. Help one another to understand the wonderful truths of Christ's word. And admonish. Well, we all need some admonishment and correction at times, don't we? Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The psalms were the Old Testament psalms. That was the people of Israel. It was their hymn book, if you will. Spiritual songs were their hymns. They had hymns and spiritual songs. They wrote songs as well. They had the psalms, but they would also sing what we would call maybe little praise choruses today, if you will. And in fact, some of them are even quoted in the scripture. There are places where you see where Paul is quoting what was an early hymn or spiritual song. So to sing these and sing them with what? With thankfulness. Uh-oh, there's that word thankful again. With thankfulness in your hearts to God. And finally, then, whatever you do, in word or deed, whatever you do, whatever you say, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it all as a representative of Jesus Christ. Represent Jesus to one another. Represent Jesus to the world. And do it in His name. With thanks, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Say, so what? What do you want me to do with this? Well, I remind us where we started. We said what? That a reformed heart is a grateful heart that pursues holiness and gives thanks in all things. One of the reasons why I focused on that gratitude there was, I admit it, is because Thanksgiving is coming up. But it's always appropriate to give thanks, though, isn't it? It's always appropriate to do that. But the scripture tells us there what? And be thankful. You know, three times in three verses it says, be thankful. And be thankful. Sing these psalms and hymns with thankfulness in your heart. And whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Be thankful. Sing with thankful hearts. Do everything in thankfulness. Be thankful. So our application point, if you will, of our message here today is I want us to focus on that, on gratitude and being thankful. Lord, we do give you our thanks today. We are overwhelmed by the grace that has been shown to us in Jesus Christ. Grace upon grace is ours in Him and through Him. Lord, I pray that our lives would be lived for your glory. For it is all things are from you and through you and to you. And may our lives then reflect the love and the image of Jesus Christ. We give you thanks in all things. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.